I have two texts this morning for our Christmas homily. The first reading is from Matthew chapter 1, and the second reading is from John chapter 1. These are the words of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the one who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place in order that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And from John chapter 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day of Christmas, a day to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Savior of the world. We ask, Father, that in the reading of these words of yours, you would enlighten our minds and enchant our hearts with just what you have done through the birth of your Son. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
In these two text that I've read this morning, we have a great marvel of history revealed to us. I read these two accounts, Matthew and John, because they're two sides of the coin. In Matthew's gospel, we have the account of the birth of Christ through Mary. We read of a baby being born in a normal fashion, save for the comment that the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb was apart from a husband. This was done, of course, by the power of the Spirit. Apart from this, Jesus' birth was normal. It seems very ordinary. It's historic. It's human. There's a genealogy as well. We see Jesus has a family tree. He has descendants. We see these geographic locations. We read of governors. And then in John's gospel, we have the other side of that coin. Certainly Jesus is man. He has a mother. He has descendants who came before him. And yet at the same time, that historic, very human reality is the moment that the light of God came to earth. It was the moment when God, the God of the cosmos, the one who upholds all things by the power of his word, was born. The God who is life became dependent on two mere mortals. The God who is life became dependent on the milk from his mother that he himself made. We have a very earthly reality and a very heavenly reality all converging together at the same moment in a little town. The supernatural and the natural meet in Bethlehem. Omnipotence takes on impotence. This is the paradox of the universe, and it's found in a baby being pushed from his mother's womb. This event, God being born, is such a magnificent moment that it's a deleterious blow to the pagans. It's a salvific offering to the nations. It's a seismic change in the course of human history. It's an altering of the future of heaven and earth together. And it's such an important moment for the life of man and of God that it boggles the mind in its complexity and beauty and leaves us nearly speechless. Christ was born. And the birth of Christ is the wonder of God touching every facet of our lives. It really is staggering when we begin to ponder just what it is that Christmas is all about. And my homily this morning is a mere short exploration of Christmas. What does the incarnation, God taking on flesh, mean for us today? Can it have anything to do with us today, more than 2,000 years later? We see in the birth of Christ, for example, in the Gospel of Matthew, that it is a very historic event. It can be placed in time among men. It's an event that takes place in the details of human history. And there was a profound shift when this happened. Light came down. Heaven, not just a force from heaven, not just an angel nor even a host of angels, but the very light of heaven, God Himself, came down to take on human flesh and invade the darkness of an Adamic world. Jesus' birth was the beginning of the invasion of the kingdom of God. He snuck in behind enemy lines, and that bright pinprick of light in the dark has burned brightly and blazed across the globe. When Mary pushed her son from her body, the world changed and has never been the same and never will be. The celebration of Christmas, this recognition of this moment in history, connects all of our lives with the past. We belong to that very same light. We're not in this on our own. We do not push back against the darkness of the world or the darkness of our own hearts by ourselves. We celebrate the light of the world, which the darkness has never overcome. That light is our light. This gives us history. This gives us people. This gives us an identity. And all through history, we are joined together with the hosts on earth who have entered into that marvelous kingdom. They're ours and we are theirs. And right now, at this moment, we're joined with the church all around the earth in the celebration of that conquering light and life of God. They celebrate with us that the darkness of the nations has been overwhelmed. By the light of Christmas, we are connected with the past, with a global church today, and with the future saints yet to be born. Nations come and go, the wicked rise and fall, but the light of God will never be put out. And so Christmas is also a declaration of war. It's a divine declaration of war. Remember when Jesus was born? One thing happened after the next, and one of those things was that Herod tried to snuff out the light, and he failed. As soon as the light of God came into the darkness, war sprung. But it wasn't only Herod, it wasn't only the Jews or the Romans, but Jesus came to undermine and overwhelm all nations lost in the dark, all principalities and powers which enslave the sons of Adam. The war started in Bethlehem with a baby and has not ceased since. But not only has it not ceased, the king has never lost. The grand joke, our Heavenly Father sits in the heavens and laughs, because a cursed speck of dust like Herod really and truly thought that he could outwit and end the life of the God who is the power and center and source of life in the universe. That is the impotence of man. I know how he can win. Let's kill him. Jesus is the one who upholds the stars and the course of the planets by his will and by his word. And Herod foolishly thought, I'll get him. Christmas is a declaration of war, but more than that, it's the announcement and pronouncement of the defeat of the dark. It's not as though God says, all right, rally the troops. This battle's going to be hard. We might win, we might not. I don't know. It's going to be a close call, but we'll give it our best shot. No, God looks out at the forces of darkness and declares in the birth of his son, here is your end. You're done. You're through. You're finished. It's a declaration to Satan, to demons, to every Caesar and Stalin, to every tyrant who pretends to own and run the world. This world is no longer yours. It's mine because I've come to save it. All the forces of men and demons employed their best and strongest weapon, death itself, and came up impotent against the light of the world. The heavenly descended into the dead and burned brightly. Christmas, in this way, should wake us all from our deathly stupor. This brings me to another point, another rumination about Christmas. Christmas is a reminder that we live in an enchanted world. It's the grand antidote to the Enlightenment and to scientific rationalism, to the denial of the supernatural. Our culture, although they live in a world of make-believe, denies the supernatural exists. Everything for them and their unbelief is bound up in mere matter. Molecules of carbon just bouncing around, purposeless and pitiless and indifferent, malleable, moldable, ultimately meaningless, just stardust and stuff. But Christmas reminds us that the earth is filled with heaven. The world is truly magical. Fruit trees turn flowers into apples, and no one knows how. Rain falls to the earth in frozen crystalline drops of beautiful symmetry, and no one knows how. In everything on this earth, God's glory is clearly seen if we would but act like a child and take a minute to notice. In a child, the divine has come. God has entered into the dust of his own fallen world. One author writing of Christmas, his name is Ryan Smith, says that forevermore, our imaginations have been baptized by the incarnation. What is impossible with man is possible with God. We celebrate Christmas as those who celebrate the supernatural. And the interesting thing, well, there are many, of course, interesting things about Christmas, but notice how we celebrate the supernatural. There is a supernatural reality of the cosmos, and how do we recognize it? We put lights on things, right? All of our lesser lights are simply a reflection of that one great light of God coming into the world. We light candles. We string up lights on walls and on trees. And this shows that we have something worth celebrating. We have green trees in our homes. We have shiny baubles. We have delicious fudge, good beer, cranberry moscato, fireplaces and sleds. We have vocal cords ringing out and shaking tiny bones in our ears. Ultimately, we celebrate the supernatural, the birth of God the Son through the virgin womb of Mary with presents, a shiny wrapped gift. This is how we celebrate Christmas rightly. We must be gift givers. It is better to give than to receive, and there's a difference between giving and sharing. Giving is always at an expense to yourself. Sharing is all about equality. Giving is about inequality. To give to others what they do not deserve. Christians must be gift givers. You know, there's a pietistic branch of Christendom that inappropriately shuns the earthiness of Christmas. So we have the pagans on one hand who thinks everything is just matter. And then we have pietistic Christians on the other hand who think that the faith is only dealing with the matters of the mind. It is the opposite of an unbelieving world. They suggest that it would be better for Christians to skip Christmas, to skip gift giving, to skip materialism, and simply ponder, mentally ruminate on peace and holiness and goodwill. Just think about it. That is holier than giving a gift. It's better to think about these things than to give something that is perishable in this earthly world. The life of the mind is all important. To be heavenly minded for them is to divorce holiness from the created world. And Christmas ought to show us you cannot do that. This kind of thinking is Gnostic, it's Greek, it's Platonic, it's pagan. It's nothing different than all of the atheists and humanists on social media asking for friends and family to send them good thoughts and good vibes. It's empty, vapid, void, nil, and does nothing. What good is it to think about loving your spouse or your children without ever showing them? No good at all. How do your children know that you love them? Not by your thoughts only. I mean, has any of our children ever said to us, "Oh, Dad, oh, Mom, I'm so glad that you often think about how much you love me. It brings me such great comfort to know that I'm in your thoughts." No, our children know we love them because we show them. This is true because of Christmas. God the Father desires peace and his goodwill to all men. And he doesn't just think about it. God did something. He gave. To bring peace and goodwill, the Father gives a gift. How do you know that God desires to save the world? He gave his Son. This relates to how we live with one another. Gift giving is an expression of godly love. We are restored in his image and we're to act just like him. Christians are givers and if I may be so bold as to say, that a requirement of Christians is to be gift givers because of Christmas. And look what the first gift of Christmas has done. Between you and God, through the gift of his Son, you have real peace. You have real goodwill. You have favor, grace, and love. In this Christmas season, I'm going to meddle, but pastors are supposed to meddle. We're supposed to poke at your lives. The gift of the Father to the world is his Son, and this gift brings peace and reconciliation. The gift of Jesus to the world is the foundation of all brotherhood and union. The brotherhood of man is bound up in the birth of Jesus. Amen? Now apply that truth to your next family gathering. The difficult members of your family. When you go to Christmas dinner with sassy Aunt Sally and grumpy Grandpa Joe and hard to get along with Brother Bill, the gift of Jesus Christ has brought peace into the world. Are you going to live as a recipient of that gift or not? The Father has given the gift of his Son to sinners like us. And if you're at all like me, and I know you are, we're pretty bad. And yet he invites us to his table of bread and wine. He gives us things we do not deserve. This Christmas day, are you able to do the same thing to those in your life who are difficult to get along with? Can we, as sons of the Father, heirs of the kingdom, give gifts and pursue peace with people who are difficult? At your next family gathering, remember that you're gathering together to celebrate the gift of peace and joy in all the earth. And you ought to act like it. The incarnation shows us that the universe is not meaningless. And it tells us that hope and love are not mere abstractions. But they're embodied. They are things given. Meaning and beauty and purpose and peace are not sought after in vain. They are gifts one to another. We don't just think about peace and goodwill. We show it. We give it. Just like the Father did. The goodness of Christmas ought to teach us what it means to love the unlovable. There are many more things to say about the infinite, omnipotent God taking on human flesh, but just one more this morning. Christians, joy, real Christmas joy, is the one gigantic secret of the Christian life. The world just doesn't understand why we can be so happy. In the midst of all the darkness of the world, in the midst of the old covenant shadows, the ruling of the world through Satan, the people of the earth fearful under the shadow of death. This is when Jesus came. Think of like your black computer screen. Right? It's off, right? And it's just black. And then your eye catches a little pixel of light, just right, one pinprick of light. Just one contrasting pixel in a field of black. That was the birth of Jesus. A bright, burning little blip in the dark. And when he was born, the angelic host, remember in the Bible when you read the host of heaven or the Lord of hosts, the word host means armies. When he was born, the angelic armies of heaven sing. Right, this little pinprick of light in a world of darkness caused the entire heavenly host, all the armies of God, to burst into songs of joy. A single solitary baby with all the hostility of men and all the wiles of the devil and all the principalities and powers of the dark arrayed against him. And what do God's people do? We sing. We laugh. We feast. A table is spread for us and it is full in the midst of our enemies. We too, when surrounded by the darkness of the world, carry with us this unconquerable light of heaven. The Father sent his Son into the world on a solo mission to save. And now the Spirit's fire has caught and lit the kingdom in every nation of the world. And if we're not jolly during Christmas, we clearly do not understand what the incarnation means. As we celebrate Christmas, we join with the divine joy of history. As one of our own members has said, God is winning and he's dragging us along for the ride. Christmas is the promise that we will indeed live happily ever after. And that Christmas joy is ours today. So sing and give thanks. Be enchanted with this world. Pursue peace with one another. And give. For in all these things you wage war against all the darkness of the world that will be defeated. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son, and we ask that you would never allow us to lose the majesty and enchantment of what you've done for us. Help us, Father, to sing for joy like the hosts of heaven, so that your hosts on earth might accomplish your will. Give us this joy today as we celebrate Jesus' birthday with one another, bringing peace and goodwill to each other and to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.